This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. The Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant is set to close at the end of May. That's after 46 years of operation, years in which the plant has weathered court battles, emergency closings, and protests over its safety and environmental impact. A lot of controversy. But for residents, the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant has also provided electricity, jobs, and tax revenue for the town of Plymouth. And Plymouth isn't just losing a nuclear power plant when Pilgrim closes its doors. It's losing one of its largest economic engines. WBUR's Earthwhile team has been following this story in a series, looking at the environmental, economic, technological, and social impacts of the closing. The series is airing this week and continues in May. And Earthwhile senior reporter Bruce Gellerman is in our studio now. Hey there, Bruce.
Hey, Cal.
So at the heart of this is how a nuclear power plant impacts the community that it's in and what happens to that community when the plant leaves. So can help paint the picture for us. How important is Pilgrim to the town of Plymouth?
Well, it's important. It's not as important as it used to be. When it first started up in 1972, in December, it produced 50% of the tax revenues for Plymouth.
Wow.
Population was 18,000 approximately then. It's now population 62,000. It produces 5% of the property taxes. But that's a big chunk. That's three times larger than the next largest private employer in town. So it's important. And plus, you know, it produced a lot of energy. Of course, it went through the whole grid. It was about $400 million worth of energy. And, you know, half of that went to Entergy as profits. So it made a lot of money, over $1 million a day. But it just couldn't compete with fracked gas, so they closed up shop.
And a lot of jobs, too, right? And good-paying jobs, right?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that I found out is a very specialized research about host communities is that communities that host nuclear power plants, one, have a lot of employees. It was 600-plus at Pilgrim, and they were making a lot of money, well over $100,000 a year. So big, big infusion of cash into the economy every paycheck.
So you've had a couple of deep reported stories the last couple of days, and I want to play a little bit of the one that aired this morning. You spoke with a couple of people who are feeling the effects of the plant's closure, and one of them is Boley Matute, whose pizza shop is the closest one to the power plant. He says a typical order from Pilgrim could be as many as 15 pizzas. The plant might spend $40,000 a year on pizza from his shop, so that's real business. And you also speak with Al Carrero, who is the assistant manager at Aubuchon Hardware, which is also near the road leading to Pilgrim. So let's take a listen to a little bit of this piece.
They call me, they deliver, they pick up.
So now that they're going to close the plant, what about all those pizzas?
I don't know. It's going to be hard for everybody, you know. There's no only for us. All the neighborhoods getting hurt. So
Aubuchon Hardware is right down the road leading to Pilgrim.
Tool, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the tool is.
Assistant manager Al Carrero also calls Pilgrim a good customer.
They purchase a lot of ice melt for rock salt. 6 or 7 tons a year, so I'm going to be losing that. And they actually have bought in grade 8 nuts and bolts from us and stuff like that, different things.
Fixed the reactor?
I don't know what they're fixing. I don't want to ask.
Yeah, he was laughing. That was a nervous laugh because the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, had put Pilgrim in for months, a year, into the worst category. One more step and they would have been shut down immediately. They've just gotten back to being normal and safe. They're closing in 2 months. But yeah, you know, it was a dangerous plant to operate.
Boy, it's so interesting, though, that this big, big plant, you know, think of it as being so large, but that it was actually a patron of small local business. That's interesting. And I'm mindful, too, Bruce, that when Pilgrim opened back in the 70s, it did so just a day after its sister plant, Vermont Yankee, opened in Vernon, Vermont. And that one closed 5 years ago, and you reported on Vermont Yankee earlier in the week. So how do the communities and the reactors compare to each other?
Well, the plants actually are physically very similar. They are GE Mark I, same models. In fact, those are the same models that, you know, kind of melted down in 2011 in Fukushima. There's some reports I wasn't able to confirm that there were supposed to be two other reactors at both Vernon, Vermont and Plymouth, Massachusetts, that those parts, some of those parts, went to Fukushima, Japan, and that was using those reactors.
Wow.
But, you know, since 2002, both reactors have been owned by the same company, Entergy, and When Vermont Yankee started up, it had 95% of the property taxes were generated by the plant. So a lot.
That's a stunning amount.
Yeah. And when it ended, it was half. So a lot. It was a small community, rural community, 2,200 people. And I went there a couple of times, you know, just to meet the people and get a sense of the history. It's a rural farming community, you know, to see where they were, where they are, and where they're going. I spoke with Peggy Farabaugh. She was really fascinating. Her husband, Ken, had worked at the plant at a very senior level. And now they both own a high-end furniture store. It's called Vermont Woods Studio. And she says, well, she told me that the closing of the plant meant the closing of Vernon's only general store. And, boy, she was really depressed when she talked about it.
We're a rural town. We don't have a town center. So you went there for your milk, for your beer, for your sandwiches. There used to be like a little restaurant where you could have breakfast. And so that's where you connected with all your neighbors. This town is going to come back. It's just been a difficult transition for us.
That's a hopeful sentiment there, Bruce. She says the town's going to make a comeback. But how would they actually go about doing that, though, right? I mean, they've lost a lot of revenue here.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. It's a small town, so any difference makes a big difference. And they've got a smaller general store now. It's not as conveniently located. It doesn't have a restaurant. But that's a sign of growth. And they're trying to plan their way out of this thing. They're trying to use the space that's going to be decommissioned. The new company has bought it. It's called North Star. And hopefully that'll be done. Commissioning will be done 10 years. Right now, you know, those casks that they place the radioactive rods, is going to be there for indefinitely. The rods are radioactive for tens of thousands of years. But, you know, they do have some potential there. The question is, who owns the land? It's right on the Connecticut River, so it's a choice piece of property. It's connected to a switchyard, the electrical switchyard. It connects into the grid. There's a railroad nearby. So, you know, there's possibilities there. And the people really want some kind of development there.
So if you're in Plymouth, what can you learn from the experience of Vernon, Vermont that might help to ease the transition from Pilgrim?
Well, one of the things is that size matters, the size of the community and the location of the reactor, where it is physically. Plymouth is many times larger than Vernon, obviously. But the other thing that really important is that Vernon only got about 16 months notice from Entergy. They pulled the plug really fast. In the case of Plymouth, they pulled the plug. They gave 3-plus years of notice. So the town had the time. And they met. They were very transparent. Entergy was very transparent with the officials, with the community, and they began negotiations early on.
So why do the story in this way? Can you just sort of open up your notebook for us a little bit? I mean, there's a lot of different angles you could take to the closing of a power plant. Why did you go this route?
Well, you know, the more and more I thought about this, and more I went to the communities, it seemed to me that the community was the character in this story. Hmm. And I had to understand what that meant. And to do that, I spoke to a lot of people to get a sense of where their perceptions, how it affected their lives. And I made in the story, if you listen to the story, it's online, you'll hear the community is the story. This is a much different story than I ordinarily kind of do.
So the character is compelling, but I also think the mechanics are kind of interesting, Bruce. I mean, how, from a logistics standpoint, do you go about decommissioning a nuclear power plant? It must be quite a process, right?
It's quite a process. And we're going to have a story just about that. Barbara Moran, our editor and reporter, had gone out to the plant, and she's got a tour of the plant and the decommissioning process. She went to the company called Holtec International in New Jersey to talk to them about the thing. I also I went to a simulator where they have the control room from Pilgrim, and I went in, and it's like stepping back into 1965, 67.
It's a time machine.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Most everything is analog, not digital, which could actually be a much more safer reactor because it doesn't it's not susceptible to like cyber attacks.
I'm also glad to hear that there is a simulator. I imagine decommissioning a power plant is one thing you'd want to practice a few times before you actually do it.
Well, and you can scram it too. It's quite interesting of how you actually scram, how you emergency stop a reactor. And I saw that as well. I'll be reporting that actually on the day that Plymouth has the plug pulled on May 31st.
So what happens after this? I mean, you're going to have a big parcel of land, a big empty nuclear power plant. What do you do with it?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what they're going to do with it is they don't know. I mean, they have 1,500 acres surrounding the land, surrounding the plant. That's going to go into the hands of the people that buy the power plant. They bought it for $2,000, but we don't know who in the end is going to actually own the land. Is it Plymouth? Is it the company? And how much it's going to cost? It's worth about $500 million, Cal. So, you know, who gets it is a big question. And what they do with it is a big question.
A lot of money at stake there. But again, who would want to buy an unusable nuclear power plant, though, Bruce?
Well, I asked that very question, and Melissa Arrighi is the town manager. Listen, here's what she had to say.
The future of the property is really the elephant in the room at every meeting that we go to. The development of that could widely change the landscape and fabric of this community.
Yeah, so she says that whoever takes over the plant is going to pay taxes to Plymouth. She insists upon that. But the company that wants to buy it hasn't negotiated a deal, and they're not going to until they actually get the okay from the NRC that they can get the license.
So two more things I'm wondering, Bruce. Mm-hmm. What do we do about the lost energy production of the plant? Where is that going to come from? And what do the employees do for jobs?
Let's take the second part first. The employees, about 600 employees, a lot are going to retire. Entergy says it's going to retrain. People want to be retrained on other kind of things. They're not any other reactors. You know, that in the state, certainly, there's only two in the region. So they're going to have to take jobs outside of the region. In terms of the what was the first part about the energy?
The energy, what do you think?
Well, that's a good question. We actually don't need that energy right now. We got plenty of generation capacity. What we need, though, is clean energy, because this nuclear power plant produced clean, you know, carbon-free power. And the question is, how are we going to hit our carbon-free goals without nuclear power?
And we know this is one of those ongoing debates, even as Democrats propose the Green New Deal, right? There's disagreement about whether nuclear should be part of that clean energy picture.
You bet. And I'm going to step into that controversy in a later report.
All right. You'll be plenty busy. That's WBUR Earthwhile senior reporter Bruce Gellerman. Bruce, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you, Cal.